heart would forget what had happened in the realm of chaos, and he could continue his life in blissful ignorance. It was only now, in this moment, that he could pity himself and weep over what he must become to deal with these predators that were being sent to the land. He silently wept for the loss of his innocence, and unbeknownst to Sion, or even his soul familiar, the monster in his heart exulted in his pain. A monster that had always been there but had been fettered. Now it fed on his tears and his sadness, growing strong as it shook the chains that Richter had always placed upon it. In this world of chaos seeds, it grinned and looked out through Richter's eyes, dreaming of its freedom and envisioning the many predators it would feast upon before the end. For what else could hunt a predator but a monster? Chapter 95, Day 150, Jurin 1, 0, AOC. Sion sat next to his friend until he fell asleep. He was still confused at what had overtaken Richter, but he was well familiar with the hidden wounds battle could inflict on one's heart. A part of him feared there was something more to it, but he contented himself with being a good friend. Once Richter's breathing eased with the peace of sleep, he left, leaving Alma to watch over her master. The dragonling lay on her master's chest, filled with love, but also filled with sorrow that she could not take away his pain. Though Richter was still heartsore from the truths he had learned in the realm of chaos, even his soul had begun to forget what had transpired there. His attribute-enhanced body also did not need much sleep, especially when he wore his belt of sustenance. The rare item greatly decreased his basic need for rest and food. He was awoken by Futin, and even though he was pretty sure not more than a few hours could have passed, he felt refreshed. "My lord, Smith Crom requests your presence," the remnant intoned in his deadpan voice. Standing, he looked around, testing his eyesight once more. He also slowly opened and closed his mouth. Both worked fine as far as he could tell. He really was lucky to have Sumiko as the village healer. That made him feel bad for a minute over how he had spoken to her the night before, but he still stood by his decision. Richter would always encourage his people to speak up and question, but when it was crunch time, they needed to know that his word was law. He focused on Futin. "Is it urgent?"
"The smith said he would like your presence as soon as possible, my lord, though he said it more colorfully."
Richter let out a small, huffing laugh. "So not immediately, but ASAP." He threw some clothes on and Alma jumped onto his shoulders. He needed to make it to the forge anyway. Opening the door to his room, the guard stationed outside saluted sharply. Richter clapped him on the shoulder and told him to get some rest. The man hesitated, clearly not wanting to risk Calder's wrath by leaving his post early, so Richter made it easy for him. "That's an order, soldier." The man snapped to attention once more, then smiled ruefully at his lord before thanking him and walking off to find his bed. Richter peeked into Sion's room and saw his friend fast asleep with his new gnome bedmate. He winked at his companion and thought, "That's right, bud. Show her no mercy." Chuckling to himself, he made his way to the treasury. He had to cross the Great Seal to get there, and he returned the salutes of the other guards stationed in that room. They were not only there to monitor the seal, but also to make sure that nothing malevolent made its way up from the lower floors of the catacombs. The magic of his place of power was supposed to keep that from happening, but he'd finally learned the lesson that nothing was ever absolute in the land. Even an infinite power might be opposed by another one. Richter stopped walking, wondering where that thought had come from, but couldn't place it. Shrugging, he made his way to the treasury. The bolts slid back from the massive door at his mental command. Walking inside, Richter deposited the treasure he had appropriated from Heman. He definitely didn't consider it stealing, seeing as how they were the spoils of war. Besides, he thought to himself with a smile, he'd left something in trade. As he turned to leave, he made a mental note to tell Randy about the influx in village cash. That was when he saw a clipboard hanging by the door. It definitely hadn't been there before he had given his chamberlain access to the treasury. When he read the top page, he couldn't help but chuckle. "Please log all additions or removals from the treasury. including you, my lord. Richter shook his head and unstoppered the inkwell that had been left conveniently nearby. He listed the weights, bands, gold crowns, silver marks, and copper shills, all adding up to 518 gold and change. Below that, he added the large emerald ring that he'd deposited. There was no doubt in his mind that Randy would get the jeweler to assess it and determine the gem's clarity and carats soon. After leaving the treasury, he made his way outside. A star-filled sky met his gaze, and the blue moon Aquiel hung prominent in the west. Richter could also see a crescent of the purple-black moon, Nivur, hanging to the north. Mist lights hung over the village, giving it an ethereal glow. As late as the hour was, a ringing note still split the night, the pounding of a hammer on an anvil. Smiling, Richter took off at a jog. While he did, he dealt with the prompts he'd gained from his battle with Heman. The first one turned his stomach.
Know this, you have killed another Chaos Seed. You are the 107,499th member of your race to have done such a thing. Welcome to the slaughter.
Richter blinked. He was one of the first Chaos Seeds to have come to the land. At least, that was what Zetrix had told him. If the imp had been truthful, that meant in just 5 months, over 100,000 of his people had started killing others of their race. Remembering how good it had felt to take Heman's Chaos Points, he realized that whatever had sent them all to the land must have set it up this way. They had turned murder into a drug. He shook his head. His life had just become even more dangerous. After heaving a deep sigh, he let the worry go. There was nothing he could do about it now. He just had to grow stronger. Richter went through the rest of his prompts.
Know this. As you have used a chaotic blade to slay your enemy, you not only destroyed Heman's current life, but an additional rebirth as well. Know this, the Chaos Seed you killed, Heman, had killed another 15 Chaos Seeds and had stolen 416 Chaos Points. He spent 126, leaving 290 in his Chaos Pool to be collected by you. Know this, when a Chaos Seed is slain by another of their own kind, you may absorb Chaos Points from their death. Each death your victim suffered beforehand increases the innate chaotic energy they possessed. You have gained 9 chaos points from the slaughter of Heman. Know this, your blessing from the Lords of Chaos has greatly increased the chaos points you have earned. You have gained a total of 598 chaos points from slaying your kinsmen. Total chaos points, 682.
If Heman had been telling the truth, a big if, Richter realized, then the chaos points he just gained would have been doubled if it had been his final death. They hadn't been, which meant the homicidal maniac would be reborn one day soon. As unsettling as that thought was, he had just gained an insane amount of chaos points. There was also another prompt that stole his attention.
Know this, you have accumulated enough chaos points to force your way into the next stratum of the Sea of Chaos. Would you like to spend 500 chaos points to access the third stratum? You have 7 seconds to decide. 7, 6.
Fuck! Richter hated these fucking timers! Gritting his teeth at the high cost of 500 CPs, he still took the offer. That was a shit ton of chaos points, but every level he was able to get to in the Sea of Chaos offered such awesome stuff. He even thought he might have found a trend. The first level of the stratum had offered uncommon or second-tier items. The third level seemed to usually have scarce items, though there might be offerings more or less rare as well. If he was right, the fourth stratum might have an average rank of rare. Either way, the adventurer in him just had to see what the next stratum offered. He made his choice.
For making a choice in the allotted time, you are awarded 2 chaos points. Total chaos points, 184.
Congratulations! You have purchased access to the third stratum of the Sea of Chaos. Due to the blessing of the Lords of Chaos, you may access one stratum deeper than you normally could, and so have access to the fourth stratum as well. Each level has more powerful offerings, but they are also more expensive. Would you like to access the Sea of Chaos, yes or no?
He had been able to access the first two stratums because of his 2 points of chaotic nature. It appeared that was not the only way to dive deeper into the Sea of Chaos. He and presumably other Chaos Seeds could buy their way into various strata as well. Just another reminder that there was always more than one way to get things done, in the land or any world. The question facing him now was if he should hoard his Chaos Points until he had enough points to buy his way into the fourth stratum. Richter thought about it for a moment, then decided no. He had no idea how much it would cost, but it was a safe bet that the next level would cost substantially more. It could cost 1,000 points or more. He couldn't wait for that. Not when he only earned 8 chaos points a level. The dungeon could give him more points if it dropped another particle as loot, but that still only gave 1 or 2 CPs at a time. He also didn't think chaotic particles would be dropping too often. It was time to dive back into the sea. He really wished he had another potion of Selek's luck, but he'd used the last during the dungeon battle. Hoping the perk from the Kinder was enough to give him good options, Richter chose yes.
You have accessed the Sea of Chaos. The sea contains everything that was, is, or could be. Choose wisely, for you may choose the catalyst for your own death and salvation. You may reach the first stratum at a cost of 1 chaos point. You may reach the second stratum at a cost of 3 chaos points. You may reach the third stratum at a cost of 5 chaos points. You may reach the fourth stratum at a cost of 7 chaos points. Which level do you wish to access?
Richter chose the fourth.
Total chaos points, 177. Fourth stratum offerings. Eyes of a Death God. Chaotic cost, 49 points. Purchasing this allows you to know how many respawns other chaos seeds have once you have learned their true nature. Scroll of the Nine Tail. Chaotic cost, 58 points. Summons a truly powerful creature to fight on your behalf for the duration of one battle. Tree of the Senzu. Chaotic cost, 63 points. Provides a sapling that will grow Senzu beans. These beans have great restorative powers and can completely restore a creature's health, mana, and stamina instantly. Normally produces 4 beans per year. Know this, no purchase is required. This window may be dismissed at any time, but it will last no longer than 7 minutes, sometimes less. The purchase price of accessing this level cannot be retrieved. Each time a stratum of the Sea of Chaos is accessed, the offerings are randomized and may never come again.
There was something about these options that tickled the back of Richter's mind, but he couldn't figure it out. He also didn't have time to try. These options would be gone in 7 minutes. And if he didn't choose something, then the 7 chaos points he had used to reveal them would be up in smoke as well. Though seeing the cost of the fourth stratum options, he knew there might come a time when he just ate the access cost rather than blow entire levels worth of points on a bad choice. These 3 options were all interesting, however. Eyes of a Death God wouldn't help him identify other chaos seeds, unfortunately, but he had his ability, Feel of Chaos, to help with that somewhat at least. If it wasn't for his ability, he might never have known He-Man was a Chaos Seed at all. The man might still have been in the village, worming his way through Richter's home like a cancer. Scroll of the Nine Tail apparently summoned a powerful beast, which could always be good. The fact that it lasted an entire battle made it superior to summoned creatures who disappeared as soon as the spell time elapsed, some only staying for 5 minutes. The downside was that it could only be used once. There were no other details, but truly powerful was a hell of a descriptor. The Tree of the Senzu was intriguing. If it really did replenish every one of his stats instantly, that could be amazing, but it only made 4 beans a year.
With the bonus from his Bounty of Life ability, that should go up to 5, he reasoned. The boost from the Quickening and Isabella's spell, Viril's Blessing, could also increase the yield of each bean by 130%. He had no idea how that would work, either growing 2 beans in a pod instead of 1, or maybe just making them bigger, but all in all, he could increase the yearly dose from 4 to 11 or 12. It made the option more tempting, but he already had the dragon's cauldron to heal him. The potions weren't instantaneous, but they still restored over 400 health, mana, and stamina each. He was sure that in time, Tavia would figure out even stronger formulas. While the senzu beans were tempting, the tree just wasn't worth the 63 chaos points. He wasn't a super saiyan, after all. Richter looked over the other 2 choices, but ultimately decided on Eyes of a Death God. He wished it would show his own number of respawns, and it would have been nice if it showed who was a Chaos Seed when he first met them, but it was becoming clear that something was protecting the identity of Chaos Seeds. His Analyze skill was rare, yet still He-Man had only registered as a half-gnome, half-human. Richter needed all the information about other Chaos Seeds that he could get. At least with Eyes of a Death God, if he had to kill another Chaos Seed, he would know how many more times he'd have to kill them in the future. He made his purchase. Total chaos points, 128. For once, there wasn't any pain. His eyes just felt funny. Richter used his light magic to summon a mirror. What looked back at him was his face, but with glowing red eyes. After a few moments, they faded away and his normal visage looked back. God, he thought, I really hope that doesn't happen every time I try to use them. I look like a goddamn demon. Richter didn't even stop and think about it. He accessed the sea again and dove straight to the 4th stratum. Total chaos points, 121. Fourth stratum offerings. Tear of the Rainbow, chaotic cost 51 points. In a time of darkest night, the bearer of this tier may find their way to salvation. Silver Harp, chaotic cost 53 points. The haunting melody of this harp forces even the strands of fate to bend their ear. Playing this instrument may cause momentous events to occur nearby. It can be used 3 times before it will be destroyed. Fairy Water, chaotic cost 52 points. Sprinkle this upon the ground and a ring of toadstools will appear. Under the right conditions, this may offer transport to a random fey realm. The potential portal will also slowly increase the ambient magic of the surrounding lands. The customary warning that the options would disappear in 7 minutes or less followed his 3 choices. Richter dismissed it, barely noticing. He had no idea what any of these were really worth. Again, he felt like he was missing something, some common thread binding the 3 offerings, but he didn't know what, so he just focused on his choices. The silver harp appealed to the adventurer in him, but honestly, momentous things were already happening around him all the time. He could use a vacation. One of the other options was the Tear of the Rainbow. What was he supposed to do with that trait description? Salvation was always a good thing, but what did darkest night mean? Did that mean that whatever the tear was, that it would only work at night, but not if there was a moon in the sky? If so, that was kind of a crap qualifier, seeing as how the land had 7 moons, and anyway, he had never been a fan of riddles. The last option didn't seem that great either. All he remembered from stories back on Earth about fairies was that they couldn't really be trusted. Not the Disney ones, the old world stories. They always described creatures that stole children and delighted in torturing mortals. Not really the kind of creatures he wanted running around his forest. Richter was getting ready to just chalk these 7 points up as a loss, but then he read the last prompt again, a random fey realm. A smile crossed his face. Elementum! Richter made his purchase and a gray disc appeared in midair. Reaching through, his hand found something with the texture of smooth glass. He pulled it into the world and saw he was holding a rose sculpted from pure crystal. It was hollow, and the interior held a liquid that shifted from red to orange to purple, depending on how it caught the light. His identify talent triggered. You have found fairy water. Alchemy class, epic. Alchemy level, filter. Alchemy strength, pure. Durability, 2 of 2. Weight, 0.1 kilograms. Traits. Pouring this upon the ground will create a toadstool ring. Under the right circumstances, this can open a passageway to a random fey realm. This will also allow fey magic to seep into the surrounding area, increasing the ambient magic level. Total chaos points, 69. Richter had been hoping his theory about each stratum was right, but it looked like his guess might have been too modest. He thought this stratum would have rare, fifth-tier items, but the pink background of the status window only came with the sixth rank. This was an epic potion. He'd never even seen a potion with a filter level or pure strength. The container that held it was so delicate that Richter immediately and carefully placed it into his bag of holding. The prompt remained in his vision, and rereading it, he had a wonderful idea. While he didn't want any fey creatures running around his village or forest, at least until he learned more about them, there was one place where he wanted as much battle fodder as possible. The toadstool ring would be the perfect addition to his dungeon. Richter still didn't fully understand the importance of an area's ambient mana increasing, but if the ring of magic mushrooms continually leaked fey magic into the dungeon, it just might fulfill its limitless power motivation and unlock a new power in the barrow. Richter shook his head with a smile. The fourth stratum was awesome! While he was spending his chaos points, he'd made it to the smithy. From the flickering firelight and ringing of metal, Richter knew someone was working in the Forge of Heavens. He decided to wait out in the darkness of the night for a few more minutes. By his estimation, he should have just enough points to dive into the fourth stratum again and make a purchase. So far, he'd only gotten things that could help in the long term. He was hoping that his last dive into the Sea of Chaos would help in the coming battle. Total chaos points, 62. Fourth Stratum Offerings. Weapons Schematic. Chaotic cost, 55 points. Provides an innovative, fourth-tier schematic for either a mace, sword, or bow. Only a professed smith can construct these weapons. Skill Boost. Chaotic cost, 58 points. Will provide +2 skill levels to your 2 most advanced skills, or +4 skill levels to your most advanced skill. Expertise Book. Chaotic cost, 61 points. Reading this book will teach you the expertise needed to reach the fourth rank of weapon mastery in one of the following styles. Blade Singing. Dawn Elves of Vinastra. Long Blades. Shadow Skimming. Gloom Elves of Whisper Woods. Small Blades. Granite Breaker. Mountain Dwarves of Firetip Mountains. Maces and Clubs. Sundered Heart. Leopard Beastkin of the Havant tribe who dwell in the Plains of Gold. Spears. Holy crap! Richter couldn't believe what was hovering in his vision. These were the best offerings he had ever seen. The schematic was fourth tier. That meant it might have 3 extra attributes than the base model of the weapon. The skill boost was amazing too. At worst, it would mean 2 more skill levels in enchanting and herb lore. He had many bonuses helping him power level through his skill, but at level 49, he'd be lucky to move 2% towards his next skill level after an entire week of work. Those 2 levels would let him save weeks, months, or years worth of time and bring him that much closer to finally becoming an adept. It was the third option that stole his gaze, though. It was an expertise book. While magic books taught him spells, and while his skill book had made him an apprentice in crafting in just a few hours, neither actually made him good at anything. While he was in battle, his high stats coupled with awesome gear let him overcome many of his enemies, but in a straight-up fight, he might still have lost even to the lowliest soldier. He'd learned a great deal from more than 5 months of almost constant combat, but Richter never forgot that he had almost no formal training. The few times he'd gone up against trained fighters, they'd either kicked his ass or he'd won because he'd prepared traps in advance. This expertise book would actually give his body the capability to fight as if he'd been training for years. He didn't understand the rank system for weapon mastery, but he knew that Yoshi trained every day to advance his fighting prowess. Though he had been training for months to learn the sword forms Yoshi had taught him, he still hadn't even broken into the first rank of the Spirit Blade style. The other two options were tempting, and the schematic could help his entire army, but he couldn't help himself. He'd never seen an expertise book, and only knew about them because one had been mentioned in his lore book. Richter bought the book. Once more, a gray disc appeared in midair. He retrieved his latest acquisition from the Sea of Chaos. His fingers were almost trembling with excitement. With a broad grin on his face, he examined the item. You have found Expertise Book, Granite Breaker. Book class, rare. Book quality, exquisitely scribed. Durability, 21 of 21. Weight, 2.6 kilograms. Traits. This book contains the secret fighting techniques of the Granite Breaker weapon expertise. Their battle style focuses on crushing blows with maces and clubs that can even sunder solid stone. A true master of this style can crush the strongest earth demons beneath his mighty blows. Be warned, some might react negatively to seeing you use these techniques. Requirement. To reach the first rank, novice, of this fighting style, you must possess strength, 15, met, mace-wielding skill, level 10, unmet. Richter could have screamed in frustration. He just spent all his remaining chaos points on this damn book and he couldn't even use it yet? He hadn't planned to open it immediately, not after what happened with the skill book. He couldn't afford to be trapped in some dream state for hours, not with the attack happening in mere hours. Now, though, he couldn't help himself. Richter cracked the book, but couldn't read a single word. Flipping through the pages, it was all the same. He looked at the book sourly. Looked like his luck wasn't up to the task this time. It went into his bag of holding. He dismissed the final prompt with an annoyed wave of his hand. Total chaos points, 1. Nothing he had bought would make the upcoming battle any easier, but every purchase did open interesting opportunities for the future. All of that got pushed to the back of his mind as he walked into the Forge of Heavens. He took in the scene. Despite the fact that the sun was still hours from rising, more than a dozen smiths were working on his armor all at once. Two were putting the finishing touches on each of his boots. Another two worked on his greaves, and one each was managing his gauntlets. The others were helping by feeding more wood into the furnace or standing by with tongs ready to take hot metal from their colleagues. Fires burned merrily in the hearths, and the ringing of hammers on anvils filled the air. Richter's attention was captured by the man standing at the central anvil. Crom was hammering on the skealing scales, putting what looked like the final touches on his new armor. That was exciting, but what was fascinating was the glow surrounding the dwarf's hammer. A green glow surrounded Crom's instrument, and each blow rained sparks down on the chest plate he was forging. Richter had never seen him use magic like this when smithing before. He had to assume it was another talent the dwarf had bought. Crom kept working for another 5 minutes before picking his head up and shouting,
"Where the hell's your noble leader? If he dinna move his black arse here soon, this here armor willna be enchanted."
Hello, Richter said, waving his hand.
"Ah, your lordship, I dinna see you there."
The twinkling mischief in Crom's eyes put lie to the statement.
"You still plan to use life enchantments for your new armor?"
"I do indeed, buddy," Richter responded with a grin.
"I do indeed." "Well, now, I suppose that be time to have her done,"
Crom replied, a broad grin creasing his salt-and-pepper beard. For the next 2 hours, piece after piece of his new skealing armor was enchanted. Richter sprinkled powdered crystal onto each and enchanted them. He also spent extra captured spirits to soul-bond the items to him. The breastplate was the last piece, and it was enchanted as successfully as the rest. Both Richter's skill and his expertise had advanced so that what had once been difficult now came easily. He did not let it go to his head, however, and gave his complete attention to each task. When the chest piece was inspelled, Richter was going to lift it off the anvil, but Crom stopped him, saying he had one last thing to add.
"For this here breastplate, my lord, I have something special in mind."
Then he reached his fingers into a belt pouch and pulled out a shining yellow jewel. Richter could identify it as a sun sapphire, but not its clarity or the number of carats, something that was starting to bug him. Only for a second, though, because Crom dropped a bombshell.
"It took the very last of me talent points, but I were able to buy two more talents, the first be gem forging. Your pal Sion got this yellow beauty from the vault after I told him what I had planned. Now, any dwarf worth his cock and oars be knowing the values of gems, but seeing as how you're not a dwarf, your lordship, let me tell you that a 1-carat sun sapphire be worth 10 gold coins, if she be average clarity. This here stone be vibrant, though, and that increases the value to 13 gold crowns. That also goes up another 75% when you factor in that the gem cut be smooth pear. Are you following?"
"Not at all," Richter chuckled. Crom had just said smooth pear. Hearing that in the dwarf's brogue and seeing him almost bouncing with excitement would be enough to make anyone smile.
"Har, har," Crom belted out. "Fair enough, your lordship. You can talk to that new jeweler to learn the ins and outs of gem cutting, but believe me when I tell you that this here shiny bauble be 3.5 carats, and so be worth at least 80 gold.
Looking at the small rock, Richter was again astounded by just how expensive jewels could be. It was a bit pretty, but the sun sapphire was only about the size of his pinky nail. The fact that he could sell it for the equivalent of 8,000 bucks was just crazy. It also made the frugal part of him start paying attention.
Just what are you going to be doing with that bauble, Crom?"
"This!"
With an insane grin, the dwarf put the gem on the anvil and swung his hammer down with all of his might.
"No!"
Richter shouted. It was actually a scream, if he was being honest with himself, but he wasn't thinking about such nuance as he flung a hand out to stop his insane smith. The hammer smashed down with a resounding clang to the side of the yellow jewel.
"Just fucking with you, me lord. Dunna feel bad. We dwarves know that losing gems be harder than losing an itch in a whorehouse."
That colorful commentary aside, Richter was staring at him like he was crazy. Crom winked back.
"I be sure you'll forgive me when you see what me new talent can do."
The dwarf's face grew serious with concentration, and he stared intently at the gem. A moment later, he spoke a word of power. His hammer glowed green again, and he pointed it at the jewel. A green glow of the same hue surrounded the gem, and it floated into the air. Crom moved his hammer, and the jewel followed the path of his tool until it hovered above the skeeling breastplate. The gem slowly dropped down until it touched the center of his new chest armor. Richter was a bit embarrassed at having screamed in front of all the manly smiths, but he got over it when he saw the surface of the chest piece ripple. The material in the center flowed back, creating a divot that the sun sapphire nestled down in. The white material of the scales flowed back and over it, leaving it shining and embedded. A moment later, the gem disappeared, covered by a layer of whatever material made up the scales. All that remained to mark the location was a small bump. Richter looked at Crom, who nodded in understanding to the unspoken question.
"It still be there, your lordship, but I had it concealed. Some have left gems shining on the armor, but I know, me lord, sneaking and stealth be important. You can always reveal it yourself if you choose, though."
So saying, the dwarf touched the nodule, and the yellow jewel was revealed. Taking his finger away, the scales of the armor flowed over it again. When Crom spoke next, he did it with all seriousness.
"I told you about me talent gem forging. It lets me bond a jewel and me forged armor and weapons as one. It also opened the other options for me sweet self. To do this next part, I still need one more talent, jeweled essence. I wouldn't have done this for anyone else, your lordship. I wouldna have bought these talents for any other chief, but I believe in you. I am with you for life."
There was no levity in Crom's voice as he met Richter's eyes. The Chaos Seed knew a thank you would make the dwarf uncomfortable, so he just gave a manly nod in return. It was enough, apparently. Crom nodded back and spoke again with excitement and merriment in his voice.
"Now, I be sure you're wondering, what was the point of all this, your lordship? I didn't mind telling you that gem forging offer all manner of options. I could increase the number of enchantment slots for you to work with. I could increase the number of charges on your enchanted weapons. There be many options, and each has its own talent. As I told you, though, I chose to buy jeweled essence, and that be why I need such a bright and shining gem. What I have learned, your lordship, be that every gem have a true power deep within them. Adding them to your weapons and armor give a taste of that power. Now look and see what old Crom be giving you."
The dwarf's hammer blazed with green power again, and a beam of light shot from the tool into the breastplate. Right after, a prompt appeared in Richter's vision. "Know this, each carat of sun sapphire used by a smith with the jeweled essence talent increases life magic spell strength by plus 0.5% and increases the power of life enchantments on the bejeweled item by plus 1%. The vibrant clarity of the stone increases this bonus by plus 200%. The edge of each of the off-white scales developed a slight yellow tinge, and the enchantments increased in power.
"Now," Crom explained with pride, "look at your new armor in all its glory."
Richter did, and finally saw the true power of his skealing armor. Every single piece had been dual enchanted. He had initially debated over exactly which enchantments to use, as he now had so many to choose from. Earth resistance, fire resistance, increased attack speed, the list went on. He had waffled back and forth until he realized something. He didn't really have to choose. Even though he'd only ever had two suits of armor since coming to the land, there was no reason he couldn't have 5 or 10 or 50. He was a lord and an enchanter. What was the point in having so many resources if he couldn't make different sets of gear to fit different needs? That was why Richter had decided to make the skealing scales into his zombie, undead, ass-kicking armor. You have found Skealing Life Helmet. Defense, plus 19. Durability, 123 of 123. Item class, unusual. Armor type, head, light. Quality, superb. Weight, 1.7 kilograms. Traits, plus 8 life defense, plus 100% versus death. Plus 3 to 4 damage per 5 seconds to death creatures. Plus 2% earth resistance. You have found Bejeweled Skealing Life Chest Piece. Defense, plus 24. Durability, 135 of 135. Item class, scarce. Armor type, chest, light. Quality, exquisite. Weight, 3.3 kilograms. Traits, plus 10 life defense, plus 100% versus death. Plus 4 to 5 damage per 5 seconds to death creatures. Contains the jewel Sun Sapphire. Plus 2% dark resistance. You have found Skealing Life Braces. Defense, plus 15. Durability, 126 of 126. Item class, unusual. Armor type, arms, light. Quality, superb. Weight, 1.5 kilograms. Traits, plus 8 life defense, plus 100% versus death. Plus 3 to 4 damage per 5 seconds to death creatures. Plus 2% earth resistance. You have found Skealing Life Gauntlets. Defense, plus 15. Durability, 125 of 139. Item class, unusual. Armor type, hands, light. Quality, superb. Weight, 1.4 kilograms. Traits, plus 8 life defense, plus 100% versus death. Plus 3 to 4 damage per 5 seconds to death creatures. Plus 2% fire resistance. You have found Skealing Life Greaves. Defense, plus 16. Durability, 122 of 122. Item class, unusual. Armor type, legs, light. Quality, superb. Weight, 1.3 kilograms. Traits, plus 8 life defense, plus 100% versus death, plus 3 to 4 damage per 5 seconds to death creatures, plus 2% air resistance. You have found Skealing Life Boots. Defense, plus 17. Durability, 124 of 124. Item class, unusual. Armor type, feet, light. Quality, superb. Weight, 1.5 kilograms. Traits, plus 8 life defense, plus 100% versus death, plus 3 to 4 damage per 5 seconds to death creatures, plus 2% water resistance. You have found a complete armor set, Skealing Life Armor, fitted to Richter of the Mist Village, class unusual. Matched armor set bonus, defense given by each piece increased by 25%. Fitted bonus, plus 10% defense when worn by Richter of the Mist Village, minus 10% defense when worn by anyone else. Material bonus, plus 15% defense versus slashing and piercing attacks. Shell, unknown. Gem bonus, Sun Sapphire. Life magic strength, plus 5%. Life enchantment strength, plus 11%. Life aura bonus. The cumulative life aura enchantments will discomfort up to common souled death creatures and turn away basic death creatures. The armor was amazing! Not only did it offer twice as much defense as his enhanced sprite armor, but the entire thing was unusual class or better. Looking at all the stats, he could well imagine why. With the 10% defense fitted bonus and the 25% armor set bonus and the life enchantments, his new chest plate had almost 4 times as much defensive power as his old defense. That didn't even account for the fact that the enchantment would be twice as effective against death creatures. The Skealing Armor also increased defense against slashing and piercing attacks dramatically. He remembered the monster the scales had come from, shrugging off any blows that didn't land head on. Richter chuckled to himself, remembering that heart-thudding battle. He could probably kill a giant Skealing single-handedly these days, but back then, he'd nearly strangled Scion for drawing the armadillo-looking monster out of its hole. After they had slain it, though, they'd found a seed core. The same item that had grown into the quickening. Having the core in its nest is what had let the Skealing grow to such a large size and had made its scales as strong as quicksilver. Now, about 130 days later, he was going to be wearing its hardened skin. Between the armor and the celestial tree, he supposed Scion's choice to rile the monster had turned out all right. That didn't mean his friend wasn't still a total asshole, because he was. That was why they were best friends. The gem was awesome as well. It had increased the power of his life magic by 5%, and even better, it had increased the strength of his armor life enchantments by 11%. It almost gave another point of life defense to each piece. If he fought an undead in melee, including his light armor skill, his chest plate would give him plus 70 defense. Suddenly, he felt a lot better about the upcoming battle. The enchantment boost also gave another point of life damage to the life aura enchantments, increasing the harm his armor did to death creatures. With the various enchantments on all 6 pieces of armor, Richter was basically radioactive to the undead. Any death monster within 5 feet of him might be turned away, and any zombies actually touching him would lose 5 points of health every second. He looked at Crom at a loss for words. With a rush of emotions, he stepped next to the dwarf and embraced him. The smith was taken completely off guard and just stood there, arms out to the side. He got more uncomfortable as the seconds drew on. The fact that Richter was also over 6 feet tall and Crom was just over 4.5 added to the weirdness. The snickering of the other dwarves was what broke the smith. Stepping back and shaking Richter off, he gruffly said,
"Ah, I'd be glad you like me work, your lordship. I just be doing me job as village smith."
"No," Richter said, shaking his head. "You have gone above and beyond. When we first met, you were a cocky asshole." Silence reigned in the forge for a second before Richter added with a smile, "But now you're my cocky asshole." There were a few more snickers from the dwarves. When Richter realized how that sounded, he harumphed in irritation. He was trying to make a moment here. "The point is, Crom," he continued, "months ago, you swore to serve by my side in war and make this village your own.
You have done that and more. You are not just the village smith. You are my friend. If there is anything that I can do for you, then ask. If it is within my power, then you will have it.
You have offered a favor to your village smith, Crom. Know this. As leader of a settlement, your words are not idle. Though a favor does not have the same strength and consequence as a vow, they are still not to be given lightly.
Richter hadn't been expecting the prompts, but he did not shy from them. He had meant every word. Silence reigned in the forge once again. A lord offering his friendship was no small thing, but an open favor was something else entirely. The dwarves and few human smiths waited for the smith's response.
Crom looked back at Richter, no longer immune to the emotions of the moment. When he spoke, his voice was rough.
Your lordship, I'd be honored to serve this village. When I first came here, I admit, I was more balls than brains. I thought I could force you to do as I wanted. I was wrong, and serving a great man like yourself be the deepest honor I could imagine. I'd be moved beyond words.
He bowed his head and placed a fist over his heart before adding, Lord Mist. A chorus of, Lord Mist! Lord Mist! Echoed out from the other smiths.
Crom raised his head, and then a broad grin split his face.
If you be serious about that favor, though, there be something you could do.
He leaned in and whispered something to Richter. The Chaos Seed pulled back and looked at the dwarf with a funny expression on his face.
Really? You really want me to do that?
Oh, aye,
Crom said, dragging the second word out with a crazy gleam in his eyes. Richter shrugged.
Okay. I don't know if this is going to work out like you want, but good luck.
He looked over at Futin. Relay this message to Sumiko after the battle with the Lich. I need her to personally take over Crom's education in life magic. The dwarf cleared his throat and looked at his liege meaningfully. Richter sighed, but added, He is to get at least 2 hours of individual instruction each week.
The smith let out a telling cough, and Richter closed his eyes before shaking his head and adding the last bit of Crom's requested favor.
It would be fine if it happened over dinner.
Ha! That'd be worth every talent point,
Crom explained. He looked over at the other dwarves.
I like that sprite. You can always tell a good woman. I guarantee she can bring a man back to life in more ways than one.
His ribald laughing echoed through the forge. Richter wasn't nearly as amused. Somehow he was pretty sure there would be consequences for having just pimped out his village healer. Crom had none of the same reservations, and more than one high five was given in the Forge of Heavens that night. When he was done with his opening celebration, he looked to Richter and asked,
Be there anything else I can do for you, your lordship?
Richter thought about Crom's little joke with the sun sapphire and plastered an innocent smile onto his face.
Now that you mention it, there is one more thing I'd been meaning to discuss with you.
To move the Forge of Heavens, visualize the new location. The amount of settlement points required will be based upon the new location.
Richter's smile leveled up to, I got you good, you fucker!
Chapter 96, Day 150, Jurin 1, AOC. Richter made his choice, and mist began to rise directly through the floor of the forge and all around it. With a series of startled oaths, all the smiths ran out of the core building. Their liege jogged after them, a mischievous smile on his face. The opaque gray tendrils continued to spread until the entire building was hidden in a dome of mist. A moment later, the dome collapsed in on itself, dissipating as it fell. All that was left in its place was a rectangle of bare earth, exactly the dimensions of the Forge of Heavens. Worms and other insects scrabbled in panic to dig themselves into the safety of the ground.
By the hairless balls of Odir! Where be me God's damn forge?
Crom bellowed in panic. Richter couldn't help himself. He fell over laughing. After everything he'd been through over the last few days, it felt amazing. Crom had to physically restrain himself from attacking his beloved lord,
but his fingers still tightened dangerously around the hammer in his grasp. Another impressive stream of profanity issued from the dwarf's mouth as he asked again where his smithy was. Richter took pity on him and told him to look in the upper meadow. Every single dwarf took off at a sprint, and the Chaos Seed looked on impressed. Dwarves could really move those short legs when they were motivated. He jogged after them, nodding to the confused guards stationed at the gated entrance to the northern meadow. Richter was sure Krom had passed through the gates like a hurricane, violent and unstoppable. When he jogged up to the top of the hill, he saw that the forge was exactly where he had wanted it to go. The two core buildings now lay next to one another, safely out of view from any strangers that might one day come to the village. Every major structure, barring the dungeon, was now safely behind another layer of walls. The dwarves had made their way into the Forge of Heaven, searching to ensure that everything was where it was supposed to be. From what Richter could see, it had been moved without setting one thing out of place. An entirely new round of cursing went up when the pixie children woke up and decided the forge was their new playground that was conveniently right outside of their house. Half an hour and some stern words from Elora later, all the pixie children were forbidden from entering the forge without permission. From the stubborn looks on some of their faces, Richter was pretty sure the village had only seen round one of the pixie dwarf battle royale. It took a little bit longer to have Krom forgive him, but soon the dwarf helped Richter don his new armor. They spent the next 30 minutes doing final tightenings and loosenings on his armor. The smiths were a bit too aggressive in cinching the straps, in Richter's opinion, but he took it in stride. As they did, he asked a few questions, like what would happen if someone pried the jewel out of the chest plate. Krom assured him that his gem-forging talent made that impossible. The durability of the breastplate would have to drop to zero and be destroyed before the gem could be removed. The dwarf wasn't sure if the gem would also be destroyed if that happened. The next question Richter had was why they couldn't add more jewels to the armor. Even though he didn't like how much it cost, this seemed like an awesome usage of his wealth. Krom told him that there were limits to his gem-forging talent. Until he bought the next rank of the talent, he could only use one gem on each suit of armor or weapon. When the final adjustments were completed, Richter cast Mirror and saw himself in his new armor for the first time. Krom had arrayed the scales in an overlapping cascade, the higher ones covering the top section of the lower. They were tightly bound together, however, so even slipping a blade under one wouldn't allow his skin to be pierced. The individual scales were supple, even though they could stop an arrow strike. When Richter bent, he could feel them conform to his body. His arms were completely covered, and the gauntlets both had a sharpened scale sticking out past the knuckles. The dwarf explained that in close-quarter combat, they should be the equivalent of a quicksilver punch knife. They would make shallow but dangerously powerful strikes. The greaves and boots were made of the same, and all of it was lined with soft leather so that it wasn't overly harsh against Richter's skin. He was still wearing simple pants and a sleeveless shirt under the armor, but without extra padding, you were just asking for open sores when the armor rubbed you the wrong way. As powerful as the armor was, though, Richter knew immediately that it wouldn't be ideal for every situation. The off-white color would make hiding in the forest much harder. With his cloak of concealment and stealth skill, it would be possible, but neither were an invisibility spell. Hiding yourself in the land wasn't too different than hiding yourself on Earth. Concealing himself among green trees wearing this white armor would be much harder than while wearing sprite armor with its soft earth tones. He supposed it might be better for hiding in winter, though. Or, if he ever made it to Hoth. As advanced as his enchanting skill was, he also just couldn't match the stat boosts the enhanced sprite armor had provided. The main point was that there were other factors to consider than just defense. Richter was already missing the extra 8 points of strength and 7 points of dexterity that his old armor had provided. There was a noticeable difference in how easy it was to swing his weapons and move around. He might also come to miss the 44 points of mana his old helmet provided. The sprite armor had given plus 20% earth resistance as its special perk as well, which hadn't come up too often yet, but had still been nice to have. He absolutely couldn't complain about his new armor, though. He was one lean, mean, undead-killing machine. The Forge of Heavens had even made itself known by giving every piece of armor a random 2% resistance to a basic element. There were pluses and minuses, but at the end of the day, his new armor was seriously clutch. With a grin on his face, he asked Crom a final question about the armor. "One thing I don't understand is I," the dwarf said, interrupting him, "the shell material bonus." It was the trait that had appeared as only question marks on the interface.
"I didn't know, your lordship. This be the first time anyone be making armor out of this type of creature. If your lordship was right about it only growing big because it were near a seed core, then your armor just might be unique. I don't know what shell means, but I suppose you will learn in time."
Richter shrugged. If the creator of the armor didn't know, then there was nothing to be done. He thanked the dwarf again and was starting to leave when Alma jumped onto the central anvil and hissed at the smith.
"Ha ha!" Crom laughed. "They were just playing with you, little beastie. I wouldn't have forget your special gift."
Richter looked askance at him, but before the dwarf could speak again, the first ray of sunlight sneaked over the trees and struck the Forge of Heavens. In that same moment, the penumbra of Vidal, the life moon, fell upon the forge as well. A beam of white and gold light shot from the boundary of the core building and struck the sun sapphire embedded in Richter's armor. The thin scale coloring fell away, and the yellow jewel flared with power. Richter's muscles locked into place for one long moment of warmth and light. Then it passed, and both Crom's and his own vision were filled with prompts.
"Know this. Now that you have researched the tech Predict Auspicious Times 1, you may also know the circumstances of random cosmic alignments that trigger. To trigger this particular occurrence, forge an item using a sun sapphire, a gem that is equal parts life and light, and let the first light of day fall upon the Forge of Heavens while Vidal, the life moon, is at its perihelion. The special ability of the Forge of Heavens has triggered. The truest nature of light and life is to strive for excellence and perfection. As such, the quality of the armor bonded to the sun sapphire has increased by +1. It is now a masterwork."
Richter felt the chest plate he was wearing shift in small but detectable ways. It became a bit more comfortable, resting easier on his shoulders and seeming a touch lighter than before. He didn't have time to check its new stats, though, because one of the pillars that lined the Forge of Heavens began to glow. Richter and all the smiths walked over as before their eyes, the smooth stone began to be inscribed, though no one was touching it. The lines moved quickly over the pillar, etching a shape. Seconds later, they could all see it was a carving of the breastplate Richter was wearing, including the gem embedded in the middle. More prompts appeared.
"Know this, the Forge of Heavens has just taken its first step towards becoming a level 2 core building. A masterwork item has been created. Continue to produce works of such fine dedication and skill to progress your core building to its next iteration. You have received a joint settlement quest, Heavenly Forge 1. You now know that masterwork arms and armor must be created in order to upgrade the Forge of Heavens to level 2. Continue to provide your smiths with what they require to craft such wonderful items. This is a joint quest involving the master of the Forge of Heavens and the smiths who work within it. Finishing this quest will benefit everyone who creates a masterwork as well as yourself. Success conditions: create 100 masterwork items in the Forge of Heavens. Current count, 1 of 100. Reward, unknown. Penalty for failure or refusal: this quest cannot be refused."
Richter and Crom both looked at each other and smiled. The other smiths cheered.
"I guess they've got me work cut out for me then," Crom said with an excited gleam in his eyes.
Then his expression became thoughtful.
"I knew sun sapphires were associated with life, but I only guessed that they would be part of light. The sun and all, you understand. Do you think there are more gems that are equal parts light and some other power? If you found that out, I might be able to predict when the other moons were in the right place for this kind of bonus. What do you think, your lordship?
No sooner had the dwarf finished speaking than another quest prompt appeared in Richter's vision.
You have received a settlement quest, Gems of Power. You have learned that certain gems embody the